Racer Radio on AM 1170 The Answer is sponsored by Love Radio Network.
Air on. Power on.
It's time to take your place on the starting grid and get ready for Racer Radio. Your host, Dave Stahl, about to take you for a white-knuckled lap around the motorsports industry, covering everything from top-notch national drivers and crew chiefs right down to your local kid racers and racetracks. Watch for the apex, because here comes Racer Radio with Dave Stahl.
Hey, folks, welcome to Racer Radio, FM 96.1 AM 1170, The Answer. The segment's brought to you by San Diego Carburetor and Fuel Injection, 6622 University Avenue. Stan is the man when it comes to carburation and fuel injection. You got a classic car, a hot rod, a stock vehicle, maybe just trying to get more fuel out of it, and you just need to have it looked at. Well, Stan is the man when it comes to fuel injection and carburation. Go to sdcarb.com, sdcarb.com. We got Loxley Green in the house and Dave RC. How you doing, Dave?
I'm wonderful. How are you, Dave?
I'm doing wonderful. Loxley, how are you?
Ready to race.
All right. So this is Racer Radio, and I am extremely excited about our guest. Thank you very much, Dave, for hooking up Lake Speed Jr.
You're welcome.
Mr. Speed, how you doing, sir?
Doing well, doing well.
Yeah, I tell you, I'm older than dirt, so I'm a big fan of your dad. Yeah. You know?
I appreciate that. All the Lake Speed fans we had, those were all very much appreciated.
Oh, you know? My God. He was such, oh, my gosh. I'm sure he wishes he was still driving today, right?
Oh, he still races go-karts. I mean, so here's the inside story.
Yeah.
He's 71. He still races go-karts. He's still faster than me. He's still faster than everybody, just about.
Well, if you get me in a go-kart, I'd probably give you a little run for your money, too. See, the problem is when we get older, we know we can't go fast, so we go fast. I don't know. That's the only thing I can think of. Now, I understand you have an oil company, and Dave Arce has been talking some serious talk about Drive Oil. I've heard of it, but I've never talked to anybody about it, and I'm really glad we have you on the air. I don't know if that's what you were planning on talking about, but that was kind of what I was interested in hearing you talk about.
I can talk about whatever, you know, especially when it comes to racing stuff, but Driven... Racing
it.
Oil is the company that I'm one of the owners of. Goes back to the Joe Gibbs days when it was called Joe Gibbs Racing. Well, you know, maybe some of the listeners, you know, might remember when Joe Gibbs Racing first came out with their own oil 15 years ago, which, you know, back then NASCAR had flat tappet cams even in the cup engines. So, you know, most people who are familiar with motorsports or anything high performance engine related, you know of the word zinc, not as something from a Centrum vitamin, but, you know, as a key additive in the in motor oil that keeps your flat tappet cam from going flat. And we are probably more responsible than anybody else for letting the world know about that, because at Joe Gibbs Racing, we lived that pain firsthand. You know, we were building, you know, 6 to 8 flat tappet engines a week, and we were having 1 in 10 of them die on the dyno, because the change of the ZDP, the zinc level in the oil. And once we figure that out, we work with one of the major companies. One of the secrets in the oil industry is, you know, there's all these brands of oil, you know, that people use and trust and like and whatever. But there's only 4 companies on the planet that actually make the additives that go into oil. You know, a quart of motor oil is essentially 2 things. About 85% base oil and 15% additives. And there's only 4 companies that make the additives. A company called Lubrizol, another one called Oronite, another one called Infinium, and Afton Chemical, which is the old Ethyl Corporation that made tetraethyl lead, you know, invented that. So those are the 4 major additive companies. And so when we had the problem with the ZDP, the zinc in the oil, we had to go to one of the additive companies to get it fixed, you know, because the other guys are just blenders, essentially. So we basically come up with our own recipe we had developed for us to break in the engines, and it solved all the break-in problems. And then, you know, when the problem became more widespread and you heard about other people, you know, not just, you know, 10,000 RPM NASCAR engines having the problem, you know, when it a guy with a 305, you know, the small block Chevy and stock springs is wiping out a cam. You're like, wait, hang on. Wait, we got the fix for that. Here, let me help you out. And then that's kind of how we got into business, and things have just gone from there and been kind of a crazy ride, actually. So
from a layman's point of view, because I'm sure there's people out there scratching their head saying, well, if I put oil in the engine, how in the world would it flatten a cam?
Okay, so let me try to say this in a real simple way.
Yeah, good luck with that. I just want to see you do this one, because then you're getting an award if you can pull it off.
Well, it's actually in this way. If you've ever been water skiing, or at least seen someone water ski, or have the idea or concept of what water skiing is all about, essentially, when the boat is moving, you know, boat's going 30 miles an hour, and you got the skier behind the boat, you know, the skier should be up, you know, on the ski, and the ski is riding on top of the water.
Right.
Okay. We call that, and I'm a tribologist. That's the fancy word we use, you know, to describe what I do is tribology. So I'm a tribologist.
Nice.
Okay. So just forget about that, because that's confusing. But when the skier's moving 30 miles an hour on top of the water, in tribology, we would call that full film lubrication, because you're riding on a film.
Gotcha.
The thin film, but you're riding on the film of water.
Yeah.
Well, as the boat slows down, what happens to the skier?
He goes into the water. Yeah.
Right. And if the boat stops,
he's gone.
You know, you're down. You're swimming.
Yeah.
You know, you're not even just like, so that stop, that slow, when you're sinking in, we call that boundary lubrication. And some people may know this, they may not know this. You know, the valve train, the camshaft in the engine, it's the kind of the brain of the engine, and telling when the valves to open, when to close, it moves at only 50% of the speed of the crankshaft. So a 10,000 RPM engine, the camshaft's only going 5,000 miles an hour, or 5,000 RPM, right? So it's half the speed.
Right.
But it also has all this load from the valve springs. That's what's pushing, you know, holding the valve closed.
Right.
Right. So you got to push open, you got to push against the spring. Well, the crankshaft doesn't have to do that. It's just pushing air,
sure,
which is compressible.
Right.
The spring's harder to compress, you know, especially a big engine. So that load, that low speed, high load creates that boundary condition. And in the boundary condition, that's where the additives in the oil. So at high engine speed, your bearings, that's all that hydrodynamic. That's the oil. The oil does that, the right. base oil.
Right, right, right.
It's all the pressure points, the push rod tips, the camshafts, all those pressure points, they're protected by the additives in the oil. That's why we put additives in the oil, is to provide extra protection. They're called anti-wear agents, so that the parts live longer. And when they start changing, you know, the anti-wear additives in the oil, sometimes for, you know, in this case with the whole flat tappet thing was about emissions, you know, that ZDDP, the zinc, the fancy word for it, zinc dialkyl dithiophosphate. That's a mouthful.
Sure is.
You just call it zinc instead, but it contains sulfur. You know, and anybody's kind of familiar with anything related to the EPA and fuel and emissions know that sulfur is something that they kind of like to get rid of. You know,
right.
In the old days, we had diesel that was high sulfur diesel, and now you've got ultra low sulfur diesel. So they want the sulfur out.
Right.
So when they reduce the ZDP, you reduce some of that sulfur, some of the things that can affect emissions. So that's the reason why they did it, you know, but it had a negative unintended consequence for older engines, especially those with fairly aggressive valve trains, you know, high spring pressures and aggressive cams. It was really a problem. So, I mean, that's hopefully we said that in a nutshell, in a way that people can kind of understand, you know, why this happened, how it happened, and hey, yeah, the oil you put in your engine will dictate how long your engine lives for.
All right.
100%.
Hey, can you hang around for another maybe 15 minutes?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because Verona Speedway, who's got the next spot coming up, they've not on the line yet. And I would like to talk to you some more. Let's talk a little bit more about what are some of the racing series that you support with Driven Oil. So we'll be right back. Don't go anywhere, Lake Speed Junior, folks, right here on FM 96.1 AM 1170, The Answer.
Air on. Power on.
Folks, welcome back. You're listening to Racer Radio on FM 96.1 AM 1170, The Answer. This segment's brought to you by El Cajon Ford, where nobody, absolutely nobody, treats you better than El Cajon Ford. They take care of all of your automotive needs, new, used, and all about 80% of their used cars come from trade-ins. They don't go to the auction. They send to the auction. They support Barona Speedway, you know, really, really well. In fact, they even race out there. Paul does, his kids do. And we've got Dirt Dude on the line, but we're going to finish up with Lake Speed Jr. So we're just thrilled that you took time out of your day, sir, to call in and chat with us about, driven oil. But let's talk a little bit about motorsports. I know your dad is racing go-karts, which I think is awesome. And the fact that he can beat you is even better, because I'm older than your dad, but it just warms the cockles of my heart to think that he can still beat you young whippersnappers. So I got Dave on the line.
Yeah,
Dave,
just me, a whole bunch of them.
There you go, Dave.
Hey, how you doing, Lake?
Doing good, sir. Doing good.
Good. Yeah, thanks for spending time with me on Friday. I really appreciate that. So, there was something that we didn't we talked a lot about oil. And you gave me some great answers and some thoughts and stuff to pass on to people and education, that kind of thing. But I do have a couple of questions for you. Do you have any idea or some thoughts on where racing's heading in general? Not only from a Cup standpoint, not so much at the Cup standpoint, but, just the local grassroots-type racers. What are the kids looking for? I think there's going to be a transition coming up with, technology and that type of thing. Do you have any thoughts or opinions on where that's headed and what the kids are wanting to do and see and what have you?
Oh, yeah. I mean, how much time do we have? We can go for hours about this.
Yeah.
And I'm sure my answers are not going to be very politically correct. But, let me give you two things. And the first one is, a few weeks ago, I went to Bowling Green, Kentucky for the Holly LS Fest. And I've been to a lot of racetracks. A lot of racing events in my lifetime, been very fortunate to go to places like Bathurst, down in Australia, which is fantastic. I mean, wow. It's one of the coolest places you'll ever go. And the Australians are great people. It's just a wonderful event. But the LS Fest had to be one of the most interesting, inspiring for me in this industry right now, events that I went to. And let me tell you why. And just so anybody doesn't know what the LS Fest is, it's essentially an event they have at Beach Bend Raceway, right there in Bowling Green, near the Corvette factory is in Bowling Green. And the only kind of rule is, whatever vehicle you bring, doesn't matter what make it is, it can be a Ford, it can be a Chevy, it can be a Mercedes, because trust me, I saw one. It just has to have a Chevy or a GM LS-based engine in it.
I'll bet that's that it. Was wild.
I'll oh, bet. How about a twin-turbo LS-swapped Mercedes 240D?
Well, I got one for you, right?
I love it.
Hey,
I want one of those, right?
Hey, I got one for you. You're going to love this, then. You're going to love this, because there's a guy in San Diego that builds what they call monster Miatas. And he's stuffing an LS1 in a Miata, and he actually got the California certification to sell in California, because normally he was putting 50 Ford motors in, and he had to sell them out of the state of California. But now he's got an LS1 in a Miata. Would you not like to strap that thing on?
That would be perfect to bring to the LS Fest and compete in the drift competition.
Yeah. So
that's what the cool thing about LS Fest is. It's not just a car show. It's not just a drag race. It's not just a drift event. It's not just an autocross. It's all of those things. And it's a good time. I mean, there are people out there just to come watch, just to see all the crazy creations. There's, you tell me of another place you can go in motorsports right now,
right,
where you can see a car show, a drift event, a drag race, and an autocross all at once.
Right. Yeah. How many cars? How many cars do you usually attend that show?
I can't even count that high. But this way, I think they said that the daily attendance was like over 20,000 people.
Holy!
So it was looking like 50,000 or 60,000 for the whole weekend. I mean, there were cars. I mean, there's literally thousands of cars there. It makes the Del Mar Good Guy Show look like a Saturday night cruise in at Ruby's.
Well, you know,
I'm telling you that right now. I mean, it's insane. So let me kind of give you a contrast.
Okay.
So if the LS Fest, where everything is, you do it, you make it yourself, you know, and I can sit here and go on for like 5 minutes giving you examples of the LS swapped, you know, Mercedes and the Fords and the everything under the sun. And you see the passion and the energy that's at that event. And then you compare it to that same weekend was the Brickyard 400 in Indianapolis, and there's no one there, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
And we've had basically a spec car in NASCAR. And everybody has the same car, and everybody's known we've had the same car for a long time. And, oh, yeah, the next generation car isn't a car that people even build to the same spec.
Mm-hmm.
It's a car that's going to be built by Dallara that all the teams buy.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
So you know,
so you've gone to complete spec. Right ahead.
Go ahead.
An interesting thing that I discovered last week when I was recruiting at the high schools is at the end of my talk, I would ask all of the students in the classroom what type of racing they would like to be taught if I could come in there and teach them anything. And what I didn't realize, because I'm not totally tuned in to being a teenager, they want to learn drifting first, and then they want to drag race, and then they want to road race. That's the order that it went in. And everyone that I talked to in my age range and older all still thinks of NASCAR and a little bit of Indy and a little bit of road racing and a lot of dragging. So, I mean, it's just completely different how the teenagers are tuned into something like the LS Fest.
And by the way, the LS Fest is going to be in Las Vegas next year, April 24th to the 26th. Why do I have a feeling you will be there?
Probably so. I'd never been before until a few weeks ago. Yes, they do. They have the main LS Fest, and they've got the LS Fest West out there in Las Vegas. You know, so yeah, we'll definitely be there. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to have to definitely check that one out because that sounds pretty awesome. So, are you behind the wheel at all?
I still go kart race, but I grew up. When I was young, my dad was still go-kart racing. That was, you know, before his NASCAR career. I was more of a teenager when dad was in NASCAR. So when he was racing go-karts, we were traveling all around the country. I have a scar on my pinky from a cactus from Atwater, California, from Atwater Speedway when I was little. So I love go-karting. That's kind of what I grew up around.
Come on. Did you ever run your finger between the chain and the top sprocket on the engine?
Oh, I only do that once, right?
I did it one time. I was racing this girl, and it threw my chain. I threw my chain while I was racing her, so she beat me, and I was so angry. So instead of doing it the right way, you know, you just hook the chain up, and I took the wheel, and I went to flip, and I ran my finger right between the chain and the top sprocket. Did I race? Absolutely.
Yeah, you only do that once, yeah.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, yeah.
What kind of carts do you guys drive?
So we have some modern stuff. We have a Tony cart and a KR cart for those who are familiar with the modern 125 and 100cc touch-and-go carts. And, of course, they're tons of fun. We got a great track here local. I live in the Charlotte area, so we live near Mooresville. So there's a great track. The GoPro Raceway out there is fantastic, really nice track. But the one that I really had the most passion for is the vintage cart. So there's right over there, right up, you know, couple hours north of you from San Diego, you know, is Adams Cartway out near Riverside.
Yep.
And there's a Vintage Karting Association out there on the West Coast. They run a handful of events there, and there's vintage karting is also on the East Coast, the same group, East Coast, West Coast, is all the same vintage karting association, and they come together and do some events each year. We have a great time doing that. Those are all old 70s, 60s and 70s era karts. No bumpers and all that kind of stuff. They're just raw, fast. They smell great, you know.
Oh, yeah.
It doesn't like the smell of methanol with gasoline oil in it. Sorry, that's the best.
Does Gary Emick, does that name sound familiar to you?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We have an Emick cart.
Do you really?
One of the things we're restoring right now is I'm restoring a 1983 Emick Express. So that's when things are good, and we're going to get that Emick Express back out. I actually saw a picture of Gary Hartman in the Emick yesterday that Scott Pruitt put on Instagram.
Well, I got to get a hold of Scott because I used to run the Blue Max Kart Club in Davis, California, and Scott's dad would bring him to the track, put him in the farthest corner in the pits, put cones up, and made sure nobody crossed the cones. And he'd throw that kid out on the track, and they'd run 20 laps. He'd come back in, wouldn't even shut the motor off, pull the pipe off, stick an extension, you know, tube in it, slamming him on the ground. And he'd run that kid all day long. It was like the Tiger Woods of motorsports. But look, and I love Scott. I mean, I've never had a chance to really interview him or talk to him, but he's always been an idol of mine. I mean, he was so good for the sport. He was always a gentleman, no matter what happened on the track. And that boy can drive.
Oh, he is a fantastic driver. I mean, really? For those who don't know, in the late 70s, early 80s, the group of go-kart racers, it really, a lot of them, you know, were from California. You had Scott, it was one of them. You had Scott Goodyear.
Right.
Lynn Haddock, all those guys, my dad, they all raced together, and they would travel all around the country. And like you said, they would run all day long. They weren't sitting there running their jaws, you know, leaning against a set rack of tires, man. Those guys were there to win, and they raced hard. I mean, Kyle Atkins is one of the legends. He's from Southern California. Sure. You know, those guys raced incredibly hard. And out of that competition between those guys, you got guys like Scott Pruitt that went on to phenomenal things. My dad, Scott Goodyear.
Yeah.
You know, it's the who's who.
I know. All right, buddy. Hey, now that you've got me all fired up, Paris Auto Speedway is coming up next. It's a half-mile track, and they've got a group that comes out there, and it's carts on the dirt. And they keep saying, there's a cart there with my name on it. All I got to do is go up. So now that I've talked to you, thank you very much. Now I'm going to have to go up there and drive one. Then I'm going to have to buy one. It's all your fault, and I'm sending you the bill.
I may not send you a check, but you can send me a bill.
There you go. We got it all worked out. Hey, buddy, thank you very, very much for taking time out of your day. And if you don't mind, I'd love to bug you later on down the road, talk more about Driven Oil, and talk more about just the fun time you're having right now. I truly appreciate it. Give out the website to Driven Oil.
It's drivenracingoil.com.
All right. I know Mr. RC loves that stuff, so we'll be talking to you guys down the road. Again, thank you very much, bud, and have a great week.
All right. See you guys. Bye.
All right. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Scott Delosio is in the wings. He's going to tell us what's going on next weekend, I think, at Paris Auto Speedway. And we're getting real close to the end of the season. You definitely want to make sure you get up there before it's over, because you will not be a happy camper. Right here on FM 96.1 AM 1170, The Answer. All right, folks, welcome back. You're listening to Racer Radio right here on FM 96.1 AM 1170, The Answer. The segment is brought to you by Paris Auto Speedway, 18700 Lake Paris Road in Paris, California. Go to parisautospeedway.com. Check out the schedule. I cannot believe the season is almost over. But we got our good buddy Scott Delosio on the line. Hey, did you get a chance to listen to a little bit of Lake Speed Jr.?
Yeah, I caught about half of it. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, it is. I didn't even know he was in town, but he was in town for a big engine symposium type thing, and I had Dave Arce, who builds engines for Paris Auto Speedway. Don't you have a couple of cars up there?
I don't have any.
Yeah,
up there
I believe
right
we
now.
Do.
Oh, do we? I don't know.
He doesn't
sure.
know. He's already complaining. Yeah. He's got too much work and he doesn't want any.
Last one was Lurwell. I was helping him out.
Yeah, there you go. So you got a big one coming up this Saturday, right?
Yeah. We have our final night of destruction for the year. It seems like we just started a couple weeks ago, and it's seven months. So
start.
This is their last shot for all the demo fans to come out and see it. They missed this one. We're not back with that for 5 months, I believe it is, to the end of February. So come on out, enjoy the show. Yeah. We have our other stuff. We still got a lot of that going on.
Right.
And one cool thing that's going on is they're going to add a demolition derby to the show, and it's what's going to happen. It's like one guy builds all the cars for this derby, brings drivers except for one, and they're going to auction a ride off in this one car before the race. We're going to supply the safety equipment, and all the money collected from that auction is going straight to the American Cancer Society.
Wow. What kind of car are they going to get to ride in?
I have not seen it yet.
You should go try it out. Sure. You should go try it out first. Make sure it fits.
I'm too old. Yeah. I'm too old. I don't need to shorten the few years left that I have. So,
God, I love it when you get smart. I love it. Well, and how could you say that when JD is out there at the tender age of what, 70 something? 80
is 80.
80. 80 years
By the
old.
Way, not to interrupt. If you can send me a copy of that show again, somehow our webmaster didn't get it last time again.
Really? What
the
week?
JD
what,
show.
What was the date? You remember?
I think it was the first Sunday this month.
Okay. My boy in the box has already got his thumbs up. So, and I think he has your email. If he doesn't have your email. Yeah, he's got your email. So, he'll get it to you.
Yeah, I've sent it to our webmaster.
That was a great interview,
somehow
too.
Somehow he didn't get it.
That was a great interview.
I'm thinking about adding him to an article I want to write for Wonder.
Uh-huh.
Because he's an interesting guy.
Oh, he surely is. I mean, goodness gracious. And he doesn't look 80 if he looks 20. I mean, he really looks well.
We had a guy, last night we ran sprint cars, and they interviewed one of the drivers after the race of the senior sprint cars, which is for drivers 40 and over.
Right.
And the guy got out of the car, and Chris Holt's interviewing him, and just out of the blue, he asked him, how old are you? And the guy said he just turned 67, he's going to be 67. I'm thinking,
wow.
I thought this guy was like in his late 40s.
Yeah, I know. He's doing something right.
Staying active, probably eating healthy.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. So next weekend is Demo Cross, and you're going to do a D-Derby?
Yeah, we're adding a Demolition Derby. We'll still have the regular show, which is the figure eight trailer races, right, the mini stocks, the demo cross, and the double deckers. But I don't know that perhaps what's happened is they usually did this. They don't have a derby at the fair maybe this year. So they're adding it to this show. And like I say, it's a cool deal. I used to announce years ago the demolition derbies here in Chino, which are huge. And they would have an auction car come out, and they would raise money for a local charity with that. Well, they're raising $4,000 or $5,000 every year.
Wow.
So we're going to do the same thing. I don't know if we'll get anywhere near that.
Well, you never know.
The first time. But, you know, somebody sitting in the crowd who doesn't know about it, they come to the race, they can have a chance to participate in the derby.
Yeah. Well, we had a kid here in San Diego. They started a new division. I'm sure you've heard of it, called the Hornets. You know, little front wheel drive. So they auctioned off a ride, and all you had to do is buy a $5 ticket. And this kid, I think he's like 14, 15 years old, he wins. Yeah, he won the ride. I brought him in here and interviewed him, and I thought this kid was going to blow up. He was so excited. So, which means now you got a new young driver getting. In fact, he's building a car as we speak, which, geez, go figure, huh?
Yeah, that's very cool when that happens.
I'm telling you. So how many more actual races have you got left in the season?
We have next Saturday night on October 11th, which is a Friday night.
Oh.
There's a street stock race during the fair. Just the street stocks that night. And anybody who goes to it, you buy a ticket to the fair, you get into that race free. After that, There's a street stock race in October. There's a street stock race in November.
Oh, okay.
And then we have the 24th annual Budweiser Old Nationals presented by All Coast Construction. That's a three-night sprint car race. That is going to be November 7th, 8th, and 9th. And we have two kart races still to go this year. And I believe the dates on those, one is November 16th. And the other one I want to say is October 19th.
Right.
So we still have quite a bit to go.
Yeah. Well, that's great because, I mean, it's with the weather the way it is and everything, it's like, why not, right?
Yeah, well, I don't know if you've seen the forecast, but the weather looks like it's changing this week.
Will you stop that? Every time you do that, you make water come our way.
Nah. I like the water as long as it's not on Friday or Saturday.
Yeah, no kidding. So that's going to be huge next weekend. I mean, that's going to be just a really good show. Since you've added the Destruction Derby, and I'm sure you've got a bucket load of cars coming in.
Well, once again, this Derby is set up by a specific person, and he builds all the cars himself. It's not an open Derby because we put the word out that it's a Derby and got inundated with people wanting to enter. But this is a guy who builds the cars. Like I said, I think they were the same people who were at the fair a couple times and possibly this year or not. That's why they're moving it to one of our race nights. So he builds all the cars, brings them in, and he works with the American Cancer or does stuff for the American Cancer Society. And that's why they're going to build this one extra car and it'll go for a nice auction price, hopefully.
So do they rent these cars out to folks or does he already have drivers assigned to each car?
He brings in the cars. He brings in the drivers.
I'll be darned. Interesting. And so I'm sure it's an excellent show.
The whole show is going to be an excellent show.
Yeah, well, it always is. I don't even know why I said that.
The whole night will be. And, next week, I don't know if you saw our press release that I sent out this morning, there's we have our six championships on Night of Destruction, and four of them are going to be decided on Saturday night.
See, that's what I haven't seen my email since I've been here all morning, but I was going to ask you if there's any, in fact, what have I got? My wife's doing a dog show in L.A. Maybe I'll come up.
We've got an 8-week-old Frenchie running around now as of Friday.
Kid, that's why you're going to go to the race too, huh?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, well, I got a hell of a lot more than just one, let me tell you. So I'm going to put them all to bed, get them all cleaned up, and come north.
Yeah, that sounds great. Like I say, it's anybody who hasn't seen that, we call it the craziest show on dirt. And once again, you missed this one. It's not back. I haven't seen the schedule yet for next year. I don't know if Don's even got it laid out.
Really?
But you're not going to see it again until the end of February at earliest.
Oh, wow. So this will be an opportunity for people to get up there. And I tell you, folks, if you haven't seen it, and especially at Paris Auto Speedway, because it's a nice, big, healthy track. It's for the D-Derby and the Democross. And then, how many different races are you going to have that night?
We have our four regular divisions, so there's like heat race for each division.
Yeah.
Except for the trailer figure eights, they just run a main event because they tear up too much stuff. and the Demolition Derby, so there's going to be five different classes there.
Wow. Yeah, and I tell you, folks. So I didn't realize this. So the fair's going on as well?
No, the fair doesn't start until October 5th,
okay.
I believe.
Okay, I gotcha. Yeah,
I'm no longer employed by them, so I don't know what they're doing.
Yeah, what's up with that?
Don't ask me.
Yeah, I know.
Don't ask me on the radio.
Right. That's the last thing I want to do is do that. That'll definitely get us everybody in trouble. So, all right. Well, that sounds good. So you got, oh my gosh, I can't believe you got all these different championships going to all come together at one time. That's going to be crazy.
Yeah, it's cool. And JD, I mean, the amazing stat with JD, I think this is our seventh night of destruction this year. 80 years old, competing against a guy's 20s, 30s, 40s. And it's a rough and tumble. It's not your regular race. I mean, you're beating the banging on each other.
Yeah.
JD's 80. With the first six races this year, he's won three of them. He's finished second in two of them. And only one time he didn't finish. His second in points, only 12 points out of the lead.
Can you believe it?
He's won the championship one time before. Sure. I mean, but, he was young back when he did that. I think he was 77.
I love the way you roll. By the way, I finally got a photo of JD's car.
Yeah.
You can't tell what it is. But he is definitely safe.
I thought it was a modified.
Yeah.
And our race director thought it was a modified. And JD told me a couple of years ago, he goes, no, it's not a modified. He goes, it's either super stock or street stock.
Yeah.
And our race director was listening to the show the other or a few weeks ago, and he said it's a modified. And I go, no, listen to the show.
Yeah.
You can't tell what the heck it is.
But it looks really safe. He's got enough girders and braces. He's got them around the wheels. He's got them around him. And then it's just got that weird, the way the bars go up on the sides and the back. It's strange. But yeah, it works.
He's a smart man, so he knows what he's doing. It's all for a purpose. It's not just out there to ram or to avoid being rammed. What he's got on that car, it's more than just hitting you or getting hit. It's going to deflect and it's going to do things away. He's like an engineer.
Yeah, if I didn't know better, I bet you if you asked him, that's probably what he does for a living. All right, buddy.
I think for a living, he's a retired airline pilot.
Well, there you go. And he's going, see, there's something about airplanes and racing. Pilots and drivers. There's something about that.
Exactly.
All right, buddy. Hey, well, go take your little dog for a walk. What's his name?
It doesn't have one yet.
8 weeks old. Come on.
The boss is still deciding. It's only been here for 48 hours, so she's going to decide.
Oh, 48 hours. So you're not going to sleep with it, are you?
Well, not until it gets bigger.
Ah, you don't sleep with your dog.
The other three are in the bed, so.
Ah, you might as well then. Come on, you're going to make that little guy feel bad. All right, buddy. I'm going to let you go. Thank you very much for calling in. It's always a thrill talking to you, but I love your guests as well.
Well, you must like cheap thrills.
I sure do. All right, Scott Delosio, the best announcer on the West Coast when it comes to motorsports, folks. The guy is amazing. Thanks a lot, buddy. Talk to you down the road. This is FM 96.1, AM 1170, The Answer. Folks, welcome back. You're listening to Racer Radio on FM 96.1, AM 1170, The Answer. This segment is brought to you by Certified Car Clinic, 11370 North Woodside Avenue in Santee. Go to certifiedcarcare.net. And if you want to get your underhood all tricked out with hose specialties, braided lines, they do that as well. Give them a call at 619-562-4750. Tell them you heard it right here on KCBQ. All right, we got Dirt Dude on the line. He was nice enough to jump to 345 since we had Lake Speed Jr. on the line, and that was kind of an interesting interview. But Dirt Dude, how in the heck you doing today, buddy?
I'm doing pretty good. I got pushed to the back burner, so. I'll be okay. I'll just whine a little bit about it, you know.
How about if I buy you lunch?
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah. How do I get that payment?
Hey, next week, man, let's work at, I know you eat. I've seen you.
You never ask a fat kid if they can eat or if they want cake or anything like that. You know, it's like, of course.
I know.
He's like, go for that.
I know. So how'd it go last night?
It went great. I'm just trying to recover today. I'm elbows deep in a car repair now, trying to do an O2 sensor on a Prius. So it's. I had a lot going on today, so I almost forgot about, what we got going on. So.
What are you doing putting an why are you putting an O2 sensor on a Prius?
Because it's, if I take it to the dealer, they're going to kill me on it. So I just something to play with.
Have you got it out?
I got it out. And now I can't find one, so I had to put it back in, and now I got to order one, and it comes in like next weekend. So I'll just run the car, and then
it's not going to hurt
anything next weekend. Nah, it's just coming up as an O2 flash.
It's not your car anyway, right?
Nah.
It's the wife's car, so who cares, right? Just put some tape over the light and tell her to hit the road.
Well, I was like, they want $227 for an O2 sensor. I'm like, man, is that thing made of gold or does it come with a whole nother car?
No, it's made of gold. Trust me. Let me tell you what. You think you're feeling bad? I'll tell you real quick. So I've got an old 89 MR2 with power windows, and those plastic switches take a dump. So I found one. It's the first one I found in like 6 months, and it was $275.
And then they called me back and said, oh, I'm sorry, we didn't have that one. We did locate one someplace else. Now it's $375.
Supply and demand.
Well, that's what it is. And I've tried to, this weekend, I'm going to go hit the wrecking yards. And I'm going to start buying up all the electric switches I can find. Anyway. So how did it go last night? Tell us about the wild excitement.
It went really good. The weather was really good. It really cooperated. It was a nice day. A little warm for the first part of it, but you know, then it cooled off, and it was like in the 70s by the time we got to there towards the main event. We had about probably almost close to 450 fans, 61 cars. 10 carts showed up, and we had 3 side-by-sides was kind of what the count we had going on.
Uh-huh.
Our junior drivers, Deegan Irey, got a main event win in the junior sprints. Logan Perkins in a Mini Dwarf Sportsman got a main event win. And the Mini Dwarf Masters was Jaden Medina, and I think he's locked up a championship, but they got one more race. Mm-hmm. All he has to pretty much do is start that thing, and then he will get the championship for the year. On to the big track. We had a really good fast track, and actually these guys came out, the modifieds came out, and we were watching just the hot lap session. I'm like, these guys got somewhere to go tonight. They were fast.
Mm.
And it showed, because we got to our main event. Eric Evans set a new track record, fast time track record. He had a 15.551.
Wow.
And our old one was like a 15.608 or 05, I think. So it's a good improvement. And Matthew Hicks is trying to run him down. That is with a broken front end, too. Eric Evans had a broken shock that came off probably 3 or 4 laps into it, and that thing was just all over the place. You could watch the wheel because there was no shock on it. It was like Harlem Globetrotters going down the court. You know, it's just a basketball. He said it was the worst thing to try and drive, but he goes, I had it on a rail, and I wasn't going to give it up, and Matt Hicks came up through the field and started battling. If there would have probably been a couple more laps left, I think Matt could have got him. But, man, that was a good modified main event. All of our main events were great. We had the wingless sprint car show up last night. Grant Sexton got his first main event win ever at the track, and it was really cool because it was his grandma's birthday, and we hung out and talked about it, and his dad was so ecstatic. I mean, we told him, all the cars get off the track. We're not doing, like, the top three for these guys. It's just the winner. We're going to interview the winner. So he goes around the track, and then goes back, and then goes into the infield, parks his car, and then runs over. So he's like, I'm not going to miss my kid's first main event win ever in one of these, wingless sprint cars. Actually, it's just mini sprint.
Yeah.
So. It was a good one.
That's awesome.
Had a few crashes in there. It was kind of tough getting to that main event, but once we got through it, that was good. Into the pure stocks, Patty Rebello hasn't been in our track forever, and she came back and she got a main event win, and that car was fast because I was like, that thing was looking good. Like, she would get out in front of Gap everybody, and then there was like, a lot of fast cars in this field, and she was leaving them. So, and then the caution came out a couple of times, and she just got the great restart, and she just knew what she was doing and had a good car that was set up for the night. She actually went to the outside lane, like going up high, and I was like, okay, that is really risky sometimes.
But I was going to say. And
as soon as she got up there was like 3 people behind her like, okay, we see where this new lane's going. So they're going with it, and they were working their way up through the field. So
Wow. That
was a good main event. And our pony stocks, Dennis Taylor got another main event win in a pro pony. Eric Mocheski got his, I think, 8th main event win in a stock pony. And on to the street stock main event, Dave Capella had a good commanding car, good run for the night. Brian Brown, who used to race at a track in a street stock, he came out, and Greg Mann had his car. He jumped into Greg Mann's car and set a new fast time record too, from like a 16.954 is what they have recorded. So
Wow. He
had a fast time for the night, but he came in second. He actually came his way, worked his way up to the field, not once, but twice, because he had a penalty and then flat tire. So he went to the back twice and then worked his way all the way up to second. So that was a good battle from him. And then we had the 3 UTVs show up for the main events. Tyler Peck had a main event win, and he was chased down by Dustin Dumas and Robert Marcus. And I had one more left. I had our carts showed up, and it was a lot of our drivers. It was funny, like Billy Baldwin, Joseph Altig. He ran a modified, and then also Pat Donahue. So there's former drivers out here that were in these mini in these go-karts. It was really fun to watch. But Tyler Donahue got a main event win. So it was, it's really cool. We've got one race left in the season. We are closing it out for our original season. So the next race will be October 5th. And then in November, we have a two-day event scheduled, and it will be the 15th and 16th of November. So that's a Friday and Saturday night. And right now we are talking about possibly having a wingless sprint car feature, and then maybe a one night, and then a wing sprint car feature the next night, or doing both, you know, winged or non-winged for the two nights, and then possibly maybe a pure stock race or a street stock race, maybe even a modified or a dwarf car national. We'll kind of see what we can kind of put together. But that's what we're looking forward to in November.
Cool. And then when's the banquet? Or are you going to do
the last race? We're going to do it's a trophy award presentation. The last race is October 5th. After we finish the racing, we're going to go through all the results. We're having a huge barbecue catered. And then we're going to do our trophy presentation after that.
I think you guys did that. Didn't you do that last year and it turned out real successful?
Yes, it did. It was really good. We'll try and actually see if we can streamline a little better now and make sure, like, we'll have all the food ready to go. So once we finish tonight, food will be ready. And then try and close out our points as fast as we can for the season.
Mm-hmm.
It all depends on, like, DNFs or any protests or anything like that. As soon as we get that finalized, then we can figure out the points for the year. If there's anything really pending, like really close.
Right.
If it's, you know, a blowout and we already know who's going to win, then we can do that award presentation then.
Right. Cool. All right. Hey, how are those transponders working out? Working good?
It's really good. You know, if they turn them on and keep the batteries charged, it's great.
Funny thing that you mentioned that, huh?
It's the other day. I was at the track. And Shane Sexton was there, and I was talking to Shane, and then one of the pit stewards came up, and she was like, is your transponder on? He's like, yeah, it's on the car. No, she's like, is it on? Last time, remember, you did not have it on, and we could not read your car. He's like, oh, okay. So he goes over and turns it on. Yeah, it's on now.
Yeah, is the battery charged? That too? Okay, well, let me go look.
I don't know. Everyone seems a little bit better on the transponders than they do on the race radios. Like every one of our drivers is supposed to have a receive only radio.
Right.
And half the time, like, I couldn't hear anything. It was all static. Always when you're telling them, hey, you've had your second spin, you're two cautions into it, you're done tonight, you got to leave the track. And they're like, I can't hear you.
Slap, slap, blah, 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 blah. Yep, I know what you're talking about. All right, buddy. Hey, well, thank you very much. And remember, folks, October 5th. Is the last big race, but they'll slip in a couple more November 15th and 16th right there at Barona Speedway. Thanks, buddy. Enjoy the rest of your day and have fun with that O2 sensor.
You too, man. Thank you.
All right, we're going to take a quick break, folks, but don't go anywhere. Gun Sports Radio is right around the corner. I want to thank Dave Arce for coming in, hanging out, and hooking us up with Lake Speed Jr. Couldn't ask for anything better. Loxley Green, thank you as well. Keep us going on Athena Racing. All right, folks. Sit back, relax. Here comes Gun Sports Radio, FM 96.1 AM 1170. The answer. Funny weather, happy trails to you, till we meet again.
Racer Radio on AM 1170. The answer is sponsored by Love Radio Network.